So a long passage this afternoon that we're studying. We're studying basically from Exodus 13 verse 17 through the whole of chapter 14, all in 20 minutes. Sometimes you have to wait a long time for success. On Wednesday the 7th of June, West Ham won their first trophy since the FA Cup in 1980 and the first European trophy since 1965. That's 43 years and 58 years in total. I've been supporting them for 60 years, and so I had my T-shirt ready for the match, okay, which said that they were playing. I've yet to see the polo shirt, Enid. It's Father's Day next week, which says they were the winner. Did I say father? Sorry. Yeah. That's a long while for a club to wait, but it's nothing in comparison to the Israelites. They've been captive, as we were reminded last week by Craig, for 430 years. 430 years, Exodus 12 and verse 40. We're told there were 600,000 men in Exodus 12 verse 37, plus the women and the children and the flocks and the livestock. Now, we don't know how many there were in total, but probably there was something like 2 million people on the road, men, women and children. And the first thing that we are reminded of by God speaking through Moses to the people is in the first 16 verses of chapter 13 before our passage today. Remember, remember that I'm a God who has promised to look after you, a God that will never fail you, a God that will never ignore you. It might have taken a long time, but now is the right time. And God says to them, first of all, I want you to dedicate your firstborn to God, both humans and animals. And then I want you to celebrate a festival each year for 7 days in early spring when you reach the promised land. You've got to explain to your children what God has done for you. You've got to pass it down through the generations, how God has taken you out of Egypt into the promised land. And then at the beginning of our reading, in verses 17 to 22, the journey starts. God makes and leads the way. I don't know whether you noticed what Enid said. It had not struck me before. This is a very, very well-known Bible story, isn't it? But I hadn't struck me before what it said there about it wasn't the main road, nor was it the shortest route, okay? Because God was worried that when they saw the army that he knew was going to come after them, they would panic and run back to Egypt. So he took them on a circuitous route towards the Red Sea. You know, it's very easy for us to forget what God does for us and for our church in our situation. God makes and leads the way. He leads, we follow, is the message there. It does say at the end of that, and they did what they were asked to do. They went that way. They didn't argue, they got on and went. I'm sure a lot of them were thinking, this isn't the shortest route, all right? You know what it's like when somebody gives you guidance and you think, I'm pretty sure this isn't the quickest way, but maybe it's the way they've always gone, and they get worried in case they get lost. That God showed them the way. He makes and leads the way. And then something very strange happened. God calls a halt. Verses 1 to 4 of chapter 14. And you can imagine what the Israelites were saying. Stop? What now? We've only just getting on our way. Why are we going to stop? Surely not. Moses, have you heard right? We're going to be very vulnerable. It could be suicide, because we're going to stop and be at the mercy of these Egyptians if they decide to come after us. But they obeyed. They stopped where they were told, right by those very difficult words, the places that Enid read. I suggested to her that she said they stopped at a place opposite another place, but she tackled the words. Reminding that it's God's timing, not ours. God said, stop. Part of my plan is that you stop now, just after you've started. And then we see the response from the Israelites as they see that Pharaoh has realized that he's lost 600,000 free workers. They've gone. And he now realizes that he wants them back. So he charges after them with his whole army. And the details are in there of the number of chariots and all that sort of thing. So we've got a situation where the people are looking back and they can see the army starting to come. Help, they're after us. It's almost, I can't think of the couple, Hardy and,
Lauren
Hardy. Thank you, Brian. Somebody's got a memory. What a fine mess you've got us in. I'm sure that's what they thought. What a mess this is. We just started to leave, now they're after us. Look how many there are of them. Okay? They're going to wipe us out. They actually say in verse 12, of chapter 14, it would be better to be a slave than to be a corpse. Okay, why don't we go back? Let's go back to Egypt. At least we'd be slaves there, we'd be alive. We stay where we are, we're going to be wiped out. Verse 13, don't be afraid. Stand still and watch God act. Again, God's timing, God's big plan. God's plan was to show the Egyptians once for and for all who was God. It wasn't Pharaoh. It was the God of Moses, Abraham and Isaac. And as we move on into chapter 14, verses 15 to 25, we see God's rescue plan. God saying to Moses, you've come up to the Red Sea. Right now what I want you to do is hold up your staff. And the wind blew, and then the waves parted of the Red Sea so that they were able to go through. And in verses 19 and 20, we see that God moved the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire from in front of the people to behind the people so that he was between the Israelites and the Egyptians. That had never struck me before either. You got it? Yeah. I'm in between you. I'm the barrier. It says the angel of the Lord as well as the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. In other words, God was leading them and then God moved to be the rear guard to protect them. God standing between. God standing in the gap. And we know the story. There was dry land through the Red Sea. And as they went into the Red Sea to cross, they were followed by the Egyptian army. And then we come to that finale. The finale for the Egyptians, verses 26 to 30 of chapter 14. God demonstrating his big plan to bring the Egyptians to their knees. Moses was told to raise his hand over the sea. And as he did so, the waves came back and engulfed the Egyptians. And the whole army, it tells us in verse 28, the whole army was wiped out. Stop. Wait. I've got you going on a long route for a reason. I want the Egyptians to follow you, charge after you. And then I'm going to do a miracle so that you will be saved and the Egyptians will be wiped out. You couldn't write it, could you? It's not the way we would write the story. Say, right, you're on your horse, 430 years, go. As fast as you can, quickest route, straight through, and I'm sure God will be with us. God's big plan. And we're told those lovely verse, that lovely verse at the end of chapter 14, verse 31. When the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him. They put their faith in the Lord and in his servant Moses. The book that we're using to look at Exodus entitles this study From Crisis to Triumph. Imagine how you'd have felt as an Israelite, free at last, and then the fear that came upon you as you saw the Egyptians starting to come after you. And then the miraculous as you got to the other side of the Red Sea and looked back and saw those Egyptians being wiped out by the power of God. What's the passage all about? Well, it's all about not fearing. Number of times in recent weeks we've been talking about that in our various meetings. In our prayer time on Friday, we're talking about it again. God says so many times in Scripture, don't be afraid. I'm there with you. You look at it from a human point of view, from an earthly standpoint. But I look at it from my big plan. And I've got you. There's that picture, isn't there, of the hen with the chicks underneath the wings being protected. Whatever comes, God is there for it. God will protect us. It isn't always the way we would choose. Thank God for that. Because what a mess we would get ourselves in. And when we come to talk in our meeting afterwards and talk about where has God been leading us, we still believe as leaders that God is leading us in the same direction to reach the people, the community of Mars. How? We're not sure. And probably hasn't gone some of the ways we thought it would. But still we believe that is our mission, to be an evangelical church that reaches out and shares the good news of Jesus in both word and action, so that people might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Is the route changed? Yes. Can we still trust God? Yes. Because he has a plan for us, a good plan. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. God is on our case. God is there for us as individuals and as a church. So I tried to think through how one would summarise this story. There's the go, there's the stop, and then there's watch me act. The go, the stop, the watch me act. And what came out of it? Awe and reverence for God. Pharaoh wasn't the big I am. God is I am. He is the one who has control over the whole earth. And it's hard sometimes for us when we get day-to-day problems. We're not sure which way to turn. We have problems. We have problems in our families. We might have financial problems. We might have problems with our health. Whatever it is. God says, don't be afraid. Do you ever get afraid? Yeah, I'm sure we all do if we're honest. We fear, we worry. God says to us, don't worry. I'm on your case. I love you and I care about you and I'm here for you. They were safe. They were in awe. And they were in reverence of both God and his servant Moses. Don't be afraid. Follow me. Let's pray. Father God, we've looked at quite a long passage of Scripture, but a very well-known passage of Scripture, in a very brief time this afternoon. But we thank you that you can still teach us lessons. Lessons of obedience. That when you guide us, as individuals and as a church, we need to follow. That when you tell us not to be afraid, we need to put our trust in you. And when you tell us to go, let's be people who are ready and willing to go there for you. And Lord, we pray that as a result of that, as a result of listening to you and seeking your guidance and your way forward for us as individuals and as a church, that we may be filled with awe and reverence and give you the praise and glory that's due unto your name. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So our final song is Men of Faith, Rise Up and Sing.